Good morning, everyone. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 3. Go from verse 7. Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. And if you are praying today, today's game six, so, you know. So I need to do it before I get to the spiritual stuff. All right, Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, He who is holy, who is true, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, and who shuts and no one opens, says this, I know your deeds. Behold, I have put before you an open door which no one can shut, because you have a little power and have kept my word and have not denied my name. Behold, I will cause those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews and are not, but lie. Behold, I will make them to come and bow down at your feet and to know that I have loved you. Because you have kept the word of my perseverance, I also will keep you from the hour of testing, that hour which is about to come upon the whole world to test those who dwell upon the earth. I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have in order that no one take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will not go out from it anymore. And I will write upon the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God and my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen. Philadelphia is a city about 25 miles southeast of Sardis that we studied yesterday. Philadelphia uniquely is actually on an 800-foot rise. And so it's kind of looks upon the rest of the area. And the key message, right, again, if you've not been coming, you recognize when the way that Jesus describes himself is a pure giveaway of the exact message that he wants to give. And so in this particular passage, he says, he who is holy, that's talking about himself, you know, who is true, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, and who shuts and no one opens, says this, right? And so yesterday we talked about, basically in some ways we talked about the Reformed Church, you know, and today it's a little different message, and it's really talking about the danger of failing to advance. Right, a church that's in the danger of failing to advance. Here's Jesus, and he says, I've given you the key of David, which you know, represents the authority that God's given, right? So Jesus said, look, I've given you authority, and I've opened doors, and I'll shut doors, you know, and there seems to be an opportunity that lies before the city, the church of Philadelphia, you know, for them to really walk in, right? And so, you know, you have to recognize that there will be times, you know, in a church where God opens doors, you know, where there is a unique opportunity, you know, and you have to advance in it. You know, you can't just sit back and say, oh, God, you're really blessing us and whatnot. Right? You need to continue on. You're possessing the key, right? And he has given them the authority. And then, you know, really the authority to open really this supernatural door that's there. Now, the door throughout the scriptures, it's indicative of a few things. One, the open door is indicative of Christ, you know, and so John 10:7, right? It's also indicative of an opening to preach the gospel in Acts 5:19-20, and then the open door also represents the rapture of the church. This is in Revelation 4:1. But it's a time of great opportunity, and again, he goes to them and he says, "Look, you know, I know your deeds," right? Why, you know, in every single letter that we read so far, that's what Jesus says, his opening remark, I know your deeds. You know why he knows? Because he walks amongst the churches. Even as I'm speaking right now, Jesus is walking among our church. You know, he knows exactly what's going on. You know, it's not like, you know, sometimes in our own life, you know, we're surprised by things that happen. You know, any guys like that? You know, maybe you're surprised by a person or you're surprised by an event. Jesus is never surprised. He knows exactly what's going on. And he knows our deeds. He's able to even see past the deeds and really get to the heart. Remember, that was a few letters before. And so he comes and says, I know your deeds, and I put before you an open door. Now he's making it very plain, right? He says, look, there's an open door before you right now. You know, and no one can shut this door. In other words, it's a divine door that he himself, in other words, it's an opportunity. You know, and because you have a little power and you've kept my word, have not denied my name. I actually really love this phrase, right? Because it means a few things. One, he says, look, number one, you don't have to be all that mighty and strong. You have a little bit of power. It could also be indicative of maybe how they feel about themselves. You know, oh, we're not much, you know, we're not, you know, whatnot. He says, you know, you have a little bit of power, but you can advance, you can continue on. Why? Because the power is in the Lord, right? The victory belongs to God. You know, and so we can look at it on a couple of different angles, but all the angles, I mean, look good to me. Right? It says you have a little bit of power, but that's really all that's necessary. Right? You know, a lot of us, and a lot of times we will not advance, you know, or enter into that opportunity because we feel insecure, you know, or we feel like, oh, you know, I don't know if I can do this thing, you know, and I know exactly what this is like because, I mean, there have been so many times in my own life, you know, where God has set an opportunity before me and it was my insecurity that had me shriek back. I remember the first time that actually God called me to ministry, you know, and this is the first year, I would say. And now this was like the first like actual church position that God was opening a door for me, you know, and my immediate instinct was, I can't do that. I cannot do that, you know, because yeah, I mean, I'd have to, you know, preach every Sunday. I'd have to do a Bible study every Friday, you know, lead discipleship. And, you know, I'm just thinking, how do I even do that? You know, and so the first thing that happens, right, whenever we're pressed with a spiritual opportunity, we often want to just shrink back and say, I can't do that. I don't have the power to do that. I'm not smart enough to do that. I don't know enough to do that. I don't have enough of the Word of God in me to do that. You know, and just so think about just even in your own life, think about times where, you know, that maybe the leader, you know, asks you, hey, could you, you know, maybe step up and do this, you know? I almost guarantee you what our initial instinct would be like, I can't do that, you know? And then it takes for us to really go to God in prayer, and then, you know, what does God usually say? You can do it. You can do it. I've equipped you, right? You know, I'm going to give you everything you need to succeed. And that's exactly what happened to me. Right, my first thing is, oh, I can't do that. I'm not equipped. I'm not this and that and whatever, you know. And then over a period of times of prayer and actually a dream that I had, you know, I recognized, well, yeah, I can't do it, but God, you can do it through me, you know. And then you step into it, right? I mean, this seems to be a very typical pattern. And the church was like this. I think they were inherently humble. I mean, I really do. You know, and they thought they had a little bit of power. Remember Saul, there's a great line in Samuel, and Saul is being confronted because he didn't kill, you know, the people that he should have, and you know, and Samuel comes to Saul, remember, and he says, you know what, Saul, you're once small in your own eyes. You know, you're once small. What a beautiful phrase. You're once small in your own eyes, but now, da-da-da, right? And stuff. And so, you know, seemingly, even though Saul was like this tall, handsome figure, right? He looked like a king. I mean, that's really, you know, like all the writers say he looked like a king. But the reason why God chose him, because he says, you were once small in your own eyes. You know, and a lot of times, you know, the Lord will look to us because we're small in our own eyes, right? And so when we're like that, then God can come in with his power and we won't rob him of his glory. We can say, God, it was all you, right? It was all you. You know, I mean, some of you guys, because, you know, maybe I don't share it so publicly, you know, but a lot of times when I, you know, I feel like I've got a lame duck sermon, you know, I mean, just, you know, I prepared and everything, but it just didn't quite, you know, come out like the way I wanted to, or it wasn't as brilliant as I thought it was going to be, you know, all these kind of things. And it comes out, and at the end of the service, I'm like, man, I could have done a much better job, right? That's why we have 2 o'clock service, you know, and stuff. So, you know, and you feel like that. And then you have people come up to you and says, man, that was, I mean, that really, I feel like you were talking to me, and da-da-da, and I realized, you know, it's like, wow, God, this was really all you. It's like a reminder, You know, and God gets all the glory in that. And so, you know, this church in Philadelphia, I think they were small in their own eyes. And he says, you have a little bit of power. That's all. Isn't that really encouraging for us? Right? You just need a little bit of power. I mean, just a little bit. You know, even Jesus says, if you had faith like a mustard seed. Now, the reason why he talks about the mustard seed was at that time, that was the smallest seed known to man. Now, we know that there's other smaller seeds than that. You know, but in this time, in the first century, in Palestine, in this area, the mustard seed was the smallest known seed to man at that time. Right? I mean, had it been a different seed, he would have chosen a different illustration. But he was pointing that out. He says, if you had faith like this tiny little seed, that's all you need. Right? And so he looks at the church and says, you just need a little bit of power. Just a little bit. You know, and then God brings, right, the bounty of the power that we need. And then, you've kept my word, and you have not denied my name. And behold, right? And so, he's encouraging the church in this way. You know, look, I've set an open door before you. It's an opportunity, right? And you got a little bit of power. You've kept my word, right? And you've not denied my name. In other words, your integrity, your testimony was intact, right? Your lifestyle was intact. You know, and this goes to not just in terms of church, but in the workplace as well, right? The Lord will set opportunities before you. He'll open doors that no man can open, and no devil can even shut, right? And he'll bring opportunity our way, right? Because you're humble, right? Because you lived your lifestyle, right? Was according to God's word. And then simply put, right? And you've not denied his name. You know, you had integrity. Right, and you lived up to his name, right? And God will do that. He'll bless his people in that way, right? And I've seen time and time again, you know, especially here at Solomon's Porch, of just God just backing up people. Because, I mean, you know, I get, you know, calls and emails and, you know, like, oh, Pastor Sam, I got this incredible opportunity. And my initial instinct, I'll just be really honest, right? I'm like, you know what? You're not really that smart. You know, I mean, I don't think you're really that talented. You know, all to say that, wow, this really must be God, right? And you know, and they'll be the first ones to say, oh, yeah, man, I don't know why this is happening, right? This is really the Lord. Right? I don't say that to make them feel bad. I just want them to recognize, you know, you better get on your knees and really thank the Lord, lest you start patting yourself on the back, right? And this is the key. And then he goes on and says, behold, I will cause those of the synagogue of Satan. This is a phrase that's used. And the synagogue of Satan, the easiest way to explain, right? It's a place of worship where Jesus is not Lord. Okay? That's really the easiest definition I can give. The synagogue of Satan is a place of worship, right? In other words, it looks good, you know? And remember, it's a synagogue, right? It's a holy place, but belongs to the devil. Because Jesus Christ is not Lord. That can happen at a charismatic church. That could happen at a Reformed church. You know, I mean, it can happen anywhere, right? Where Jesus Christ is not Lord, we could invariably be, you know, worshiping in the synagogue of Satan, right? And which you know, I mean, if, you know, I mean, a lot of people talk about, you know, Pastor Sam, you know, you're so black and white and this guy. You know who's more black and white than me? Jesus. I mean, this guy is like as black and white as you can get. You know, in other words, if he's not Lord, right, then that belongs to the devil. I mean, he just makes it so clear, right? It's either the synagogue of God, it's God's house, or it's the devil's house. You know, and, you know, James, his brother, right, Jesus' brother also picks up on this, you know, and also, you know, John the Beloved, right? I mean, they'll write all kinds of stuff. It's, if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. I mean, is there any more black and white thing you can get than that? You know, and so, and they'll speak in these type of terms here because the end is coming. You know, and it says, I'll make them come and bow down at your feet and to know that I have loved you. And because you have kept the word of my the word of my perseverance, you know, in other words, it's about steadfastness, right? I will also keep you from the hour of testing. And this is a promise given to every church. Right? You know, every place. The hour of testing, obviously, is referring to the tribulation. right? He's referring to, you know, the time when, you know, the church will be raptured and, you know, there'll be a seven-year period of testing, right? You know, I mean, I don't know what your eschatology is, but, you know, the most common one, you know, refers to this idea of the rapture, you know, and of the tribulation. And it's the hour of testing. And notice, you know, he makes it clear there's a time that's coming, there's a moment, and it's the hour of testing. That hour which is about to come. He's saying, hey, listen, you know, don't kid yourself. This time is going to come. There'll be a great trial, a great test, you know, that the whole world, you know, it's going to come upon to test those that dwell on the earth. But because you've persevered, you'll be removed from that test. But see, notice something really clear, right? Because you endure the little test, you'll be rescued from the big test, right? That's you know, it's almost like, you know, it's like in school, right? And teachers here, you know, you pass the quiz, you don't have to take the final. Isn't that, I mean, what a great deal. You know what I mean? You know, you pass the little quiz, right? And you're exempt from the final. I mean, that's if that's any incentive to study for the quiz, I don't know what is, right? You know, and so he says, you know, because you have persevered, in other words, it's not just gonna, you know, you're not gonna be exempt just because you're there, because in this life and what's going on now, you've endured the little quiz, you know, the little testings that are happening, and because of that, the great test you'll be omitted from, right? And that's what happens to the church, right? We get raptured, right? And the overcame temptation, and so they'll be exempt from the test. I mean, it's a good word, you know. And so he tells them, "Look, man, I'm coming quickly. Hold fast." But that same word, notice he said that to every church so far, right? You know, I mean, you know, hold on with all of your power, you know, what you have, in order that no one take your crown. Don't lose what you got, right? Now, I don't think this is an issue of soteriology. In other words, it's not an issue of salvation, you know, but he's just saying, you know, the crown, you know, the reward that God has for you, don't let anyone take that away, right? Grab onto it, cling onto it. You know, Paul talked about, you know, taking care of this treasure in earthen vessels and whatnot. And again, he who overcomes, right, that fights and wins, you know, I'll make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will go out from it, and he will not go out from it anymore, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God and my new name. Right, and who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Right, he makes us a pillar in the temple, and we never leave the temple. In other words, that you become a person of the presence of God all the time. Right, that's the reward. Right, that's what heaven is. Right, heaven, you know, is the perpetual presence of God, the fullness of God's presence living in our lives. The opposite of that, hell, you know, and I don't know if it's going to be hot, you know. I mean, I don't know, right? You know, I mean, it talks about an eternal fire, but it's really, the fire actually is referring to the river, you know, Hades or Styx, right? You know, and so, but I know it's the place where there's zero presence of God, right? And so, you know, even in the worst place that we can ever imagine, right, there's still a measure of God's presence there. Can you imagine if there was no presence of God? You know, I got an email this morning from one of my old pastors, and he's now a missionary in Mexico, and he lives in Chihuahua, this area, if you've been catching up on the news, is a hotbed of drug activity. And so he just emailed me, asked to pray, and we'll pray for them today. They just murdered 17 people in a drug rehabilitation center. You know, and the two pastors that run this, they have five centers in the area. The two pastors that run the center are actually his students, because he's a professor. He teaches. He actually writes his own books in Spanish. systematic theology books. He's written like 5 volumes, and he teaches, right? I mean, he's Korean-American. You know, he taught himself Spanish, and he's actually written 500-page books in Spanish. I mean, he ain't that smart, right? It's another one of that. That's the Lord, right, that's doing this. And so he's got these students, you know, all over Mexico. And can you imagine? And this is the drug cartel. What they're doing is they want their customers back. And so they went in, and as a show, they murdered these 17 people. I mean, just, you know, mass killing. And so all five, you know, they have like 250 people in these. They all left the center. And a lot of them are back on the streets doing drugs. You know, they want their customers. I don't know, how diabolical can you get? You know, and I mean, and you think about stuff like that, and there's still a measure of God's presence there. Can you imagine if God withdraws himself completely? There's a picture in the Bible where God withdraws himself completely. Do you remember what happened? They crucified the Son of God on the cross, right? The Father and the Spirit left the Son. I mean, you know, and darkness fell over the whole earth. And that's a slight picture of what hell is like, you know. And so, well, let's close our eyes, right? The message to the church in Philadelphia, the danger of failing to advance. The door is before us. Don't let fear or insecurity or the little testings rob us of the reward that's due, of those crowns. I think it's manifest on a church level, but also individually. Think about it. How many times when God has presented an opportunity to you that you shrink back because you're insecure, because you said, I can't do that. Friends, don't run away from opportunity. Don't run away from an open door. Advance. He'll give you everything you need to succeed. You know, going back to my testimony, you know, I really was scared. I thought there's no way that I could preach every week and whatnot. And, you know, the crazy thing is every week God gave me something to say. Every week. It was crazy. Sometimes I would go to sleep on Saturday night just spent, thinking, I don't know what I'm going to say. You know, not because I was lazy or anything. I mean, because I studied and I prayed and I just wasn't getting anything from the Lord. And I would go to sleep Saturday night. I'd have a dream, right? And I mean, this happened numerous times. And I dreamt and I was preaching in my dream. And I literally woke up and wrote down exactly what I said in my dream. And we had awesome services. God is able to grant you grace and even more if we just come with a little power, come with a little integrity. So as Samantha leads us in a song, I just want to encourage you to just meditate on that and just allow the Lord to speak to you.
Yes, I love you. Jesus, you are my treasure in this life, and you are so pure and so kind. Lord, I love you. Yes, I love you. And Lord, I love you. You're my delight. And Spirit, you are my comfort in this life, and I need your presence day and night. And Lord, I love you. Yes,
Holy Spirit.
And Spirit, you are my comfort in this life, and I need your presence day and night. Yes, we love you, and we love you, and Lord, we love you, my
Let's pray for ourselves and our community around us, our church. Let's pray for open doors. Let's ask God to come and really do something that only He can do. To open what no man can open. That even the devil is not able to shut what God has opened. Let's pray for that around us. Let's pray for our friends that are still looking for jobs. And let's ask God to open those doors. Let's pray for ones that are at work and not too happy about what they're doing. Let's pray that God would open new doors in their life. Let's pray on a spiritual level as well. Right? Let's pray that we would enter into a new season of opportunity as a church. That we would not be afraid and as individuals and as a body. That we would just really step in knowing that God is going to give us grace. Right? My grace is sufficient for you. Right, that His grace, which is so sufficient for us, that we would just walk in and do what God has called us to do. Well, let's pray for open doors in the area of relationships with people. Right, and let's ask God, come in and open these doors in our lives that only You can do. Let's pray. Let's pray over our house churches that are meeting tonight. Pray for Tregunter and Causeway Bay and MacDaddy, Kowloon and Robinson. I think Robinson's having a barbecue. Let's pray for God's grace and His presence to be upon our times today, that there will be an open door just for connectedness and just real grace among people to happen during this time. So let's pray tonight. So mission focus is pray for our upcoming trip to Bhutan and India. Let's pray for the people that have signed up and that the training would go well. And they would just be an incredible resource to the people in Bhutan and in northern India. That God would really use them as they teach and as they build and use their hands to serve people. And so let's just lift up this team and this time before the Lord. Let's pray for our building search and our building fund. Ask God to continue to bless the people as they give. And you know, you guys know the papers are now with the Home Affairs Bureau and our proposal. And so let's pray for God's favor, that He would really open a door for us in terms of favor with the government, and that God would just have His way in our search. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for doors that only You open, God. Lord, doors that even the enemy cannot shut, Lord. And we pray, God, for just more seasons, God, of these open doors, of these opportunities. And help us not to shrink back because we're insecure, God, or our issues will get in the way, Lord. But understanding, God, that when You open a door, God, You're going to give us the power, Father God, to complete the assignment. And so, Lord, draw us to You, God. Even today is our holiday. Help us to spend it wisely, Lord, and just allow Your grace, Lord, just to come, God, and minister into the depths of who we are, Father. We just lift this whole day up to You, God, and we thank You for it, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great holiday today. If you guys want to watch the game or watching at my place at 9 this morning, you're more than welcome to come.